got your shoes to think about, right? You've got your wallet to think about. You've got all this stuff going on. And you've got people saying, go here, go there, do this. Uh-oh, you set that off. Come over here, stretch your arms. How come I'm always the one that has to go over there like this, huh? Is it the screws in my knee or what? I don't know what it is. This guy looks suspicious, Chief. Let's take him over there. And yeah, something like that, I guess. So you always, it's bad. It's my name or something, I don't know. So you get all this stuff, you take care of it, you track it, you put your carry-on in the bin up there, and you know the bin that you have to put it in is always 14 seats from where you're sitting, right? So what do? And you're wondering what's going on. Finally, you get to the airport that you're going to, find out that your bags went where you wish you had gone, to Tahiti or something, right? And then you got to figure out how to get those back, and eventually you get to a hotel and you got all your stuff. Whew! And you lay down, you're dead tired. And in the middle of the night, you're hearing something. You're not sure what it is. It kind of goes along with this dream you're having about sirens and stuff, and you don't really know what's going on. And then it dawns on you all of a sudden, and you jump up, and you take that first big breath when you jump up, and it's filled with smoke. And you start hacking and choking and coughing, and you realize something's on fire. Those are sirens I'm hearing. These are people running in the hallways. Stuff's going bad here. And at that moment, you remember, I've got to get down low. So you get down on the ground, you breathe your first breath of relatively clear air, and you think, what to do now? I don't know about you, but when I travel, I always go to the top floor of whatever I can get to. Whatever's the highest floor I can get on, that's where I like to stay. Because when you're down lower, you hear all the street noise, people walking by, stuff going on. I take the top floor that I can get. So you're on the eighth floor. You know you're not going to jump. What do? You remember when you came in. You remember that when you came in, there was one of those, I stay in cheap hotels, there was one of those little doors on the side, you know, that's a path through to the next room, right? You set your briefcase in front of that, your computer bag or whatever it is, and you think, I gotta get my stuff. But as you go over that direction, you watch as the flames are licking under that very door. And you think, you know what, I don't need that stuff so badly. I got to get out of here. And at that point, you don't care about the stuff in that bag. You don't care about the wallet that's on the dresser. You don't care about anything but getting out of that room, because you're not going out the door. And so you turn to the window and you reconsider, how much stuff will I break if I do jump? Too much stuff. But you look down, and here comes a guy on a ladder up to your window. This guy just gained 5 million points on your hero scorecard, right? And he grabs you and gets you down out of there. And when you get back to the ground, terra firma, it's like, oh yes, ground, dirt, real dirt. That's perspective. When you're going through the airport, everything that you own is important. When you get down to the ground, one thing's important. The ground. And my feet can feel it. I'm safe. And you thank the Lord for that. A few days later, you have an opportunity to go to that fire station where that guy works, who pulled you down out of that building. What do you say to that guy?
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad that's the first words out of your mouth. Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. God saved us from more than just a burning building. Didn't he? Let's take a look at our scriptures. We read today from Revelation chapter 7. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the reading of God's word this morning. Revelation chapter 7. Are you with me? Revelation chapter 7. We saw this great multitude in verse 9. This great multitude is crying out with a loud voice in verse 10, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God." Okay, wait a minute. I thought I was in church there for a minute. Salvation belongs to our God. Thank you. Awesome. Yes, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, verse 10 tells us. What an awesome thing. And we see these people praising God, but who are they? Who are they? They're people with perspective. Look at verse 14. Because in verse 13, the elder came up and asked, "Who are these people?" And in verse 14, John says, you know who they are. And so he said to me, verse 14, "These are the ones who do what? Came out of great tribulation." Came out of great tribulation. Brothers and sisters, we are tested by fire, are we not? We are tested by fire. There is a fiery trial. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 tells us that we shouldn't think it's strange. It's not unusual for us to go through trials. It's not strange for these kinds of things to happen. You can expect it as God's people. You can expect that we will have these kinds of troubles. The devil ain't gonna let you get away with it. He wants to oppose you at every step. And so don't think it's strange. Jude verse 23. Jude verse 23 talks about pulling some out of the fire. Pulling some out of the fire. I feel like I've been pulled out of the fire on many occasions, actually. But I like it the way the NIV puts it. It says, snatched. Sometimes that's how I feel. Snatched out of the fire. I get the feeling that my toes were getting just a little singed. You know what I mean? And I got snatched out of the fire in the nick of time. Snatched out of the fire. Jeremiah verse 30, or chapter 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble." Yes, Jacob's trouble. Oh, but that's not the end of the verse. Jeremiah reassures us, "But he shall be saved out of it." But he shall be saved out of it. And so, you and I today, we live in a fiery place. We live in difficult circumstances. Things are happening all around us. But I invite you to have perspective. To have a little perspective. When we get to the other side of eternity, all the stuff we sweat for here, What's it worth? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. Let's take a look. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 4. It's talking about the end of time. God coming, and it says, verse 4, He shall judge between the nations. Sounds like the end of time to me, doesn't it to you? He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. That sounds good, doesn't it? I like that. And their spears into pruning hooks. Ah, sounds like what I'm ready for. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations. Sounds peaceful, doesn't it? Neither shall they learn war any more. How many of you are ready for that day? Amen. Absolutely. I can't hardly wait for it. And God has it prepared for you and me. But, and you knew I had a but there somewhere, didn't you? Verse 20. Take a look with me at verse 20. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Gotta like that. The moles and the bats are going to have all these nice things. Made out of gold and silver, huh? Ready for the moles and the bats. Now, plenty of idols were made out of wood, and I'm sure they're cast away too. But even the valuable ones, the ones made out of gold and silver, those will be cast away too. Why? Because there's something else going on. They got a little perspective, didn't they? Sometimes we need perspective. Patty and I have often talked about going out and getting, you know, just a couple of chunks of asphalt, about this big. A couple of chunks of asphalt, and hang them around our necks. That'd make people ask questions, wouldn't it? That'd make people wonder, wouldn't it? Or maybe they'd think we were crazy if we got a hunk of concrete, said, yeah. Look at that rock, man. I got a rock there, huh? Yeah. It's pretty sweet, huh? And yet, think about it. Think very carefully just for a moment. I got my chunk of asphalt here, right? What am I doing? I'm wearing a piece of pavement. Right? What's the difference between that and wearing gold? Hey, that's the pavement of the streets of Jerusalem, right? So I'm sitting there with this piece of pavement around my neck. Ooh, look at this. Shiny. It's beautiful. It's valuable. What? Valuable? It's pavement. Concrete. What is it? It's just a rock. Rocks like will be the foundation of the city of God. You know all those foundation stones that are listed in Revelation? Why should we have one of those on my finger to adorn my hand? What's that all about? It's just rocks. Rocks that are so common, so ordinary, that we just cover them up and use them for a foundation. Why should we make those valuable? Let's get some perspective. Those things are not important. When we recognize that we're in the fire, when things are ready to burn down, we recognize that that's not the important stuff. It's not about the stuff we can gather, Pathfinders. It's not about stuff. It's about people. It's about who we can take with us. And if you had a business partner, hopefully you like your business partners. If you had a business partner staying in the next room, I think you'd be more concerned about that person than the stuff, huh? Let's start banging on the door. Hey, wake up! The building's on fire. Let's get out of here. Brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. To tell little ones, hey, wake up. Our building's on fire. Let's get out of here. Jesus is coming soon, huh? Isn't that right? Isn't Jesus coming soon? Yeah. That's what we're going to say. That's right. That's what I want to say. He says, wake up. Jesus is here. That's what I want to say. Absolutely. We need that perspective. We need a clearer view of eternity to help us to know what to do for time. Because that's why we're here. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, our present sufferings cannot compare to the weight of glory. Ooh, that sounds good. I'm up for that. How about you? Isn't that what you're waiting for? That eternal weight of glory? Stuff can stay up in that room and burn. But people are important. That's what's valuable. Let's look back at our text today. Revelation chapter 7. Beginning with verse 9. Let's get some perspective here. After these things I looked and behold, what was there? A great multitude. A great multitude. Brothers and sisters, do we want to be part of that great multitude? All right, I'm going to give you one more shot at this. Give you one more try. Do you want to be a part of that great multitude? Amen. Now let me ask you something more important than that. Do you want the person sitting next to you to be a part of that great multitude?
Yes.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Because that firefighter could have said, hey, wait a minute, whoa. That's 8 stories up there. And if you didn't happen to notice, Chief, that building's on fire. I ain't going up there. Right? He could have said that. But he knew you were hanging out that window, waving like a lunatic. Help! Right? And he valued your life enough to risk his own. Are we willing to value other people enough to risk ourselves? Or do we want to just sit comfortably in our pew and say, I'm going to keep the 10 commandments, I'm going to be good, and I'm going to get my way to heaven, and that's all I'm worried about? Huh? What if Mr. Wilson had said that? What if Janie had said that? What if our adventurer leaders had said that? How many of these kids would be sitting here today singing, ooh, what was that? Wow, ooh, man. No. I can see I'm heading off the deep end here. This is what they enjoy. Did you hear him say this is what they do just for fun? Their fun is praising God. Woo, come on. That's good stuff. That is awesome stuff, people. That is awesome stuff. That is good stuff. Here's point 4 today. Are you with me? Let's look at verses 15 through 17. 15 through 17 in Revelation chapter 7. Are you with me? Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will do what? Dwell with them. Brothers and sisters, have you ever felt that you were in the fire? Things were hot. You were getting burned. And sometimes, did you ever notice that it's we who are holding the match to someone else and burning them? But you felt you were getting burned, and you said, God, take a look. It's hot down here. I'm in the fire. Help. And it didn't feel like God answered right away. You felt like sometimes God just didn't always hear. Some of you may have been there. Some of you may have felt that. It's not that God isn't hearing. God's waiting for your heart to be right. He's waiting for the moment to work for you. That's best for you. And sometimes God can't save us when we're hanging on to our briefcase. And he's waiting for us to let go. God, help! But it's help with an anchor. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, laying aside every weight, even the weight that is valuable. Laying aside every weight. And we plead with God. And this verse right here tells us that there's coming a day when God will be right there living among us. Praise God. He's going to be right there. There's not going to be, God, are you there? We can just walk up there. He's going to be right there with us. Amen. Right beside us. God among us. Dwelling among his people. No question is God hearing. He's right there with you. It's beautiful. What an answer to our prayers. What an answer to our needs. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse, verse 16. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. Do you see how God is preparing to answer our needs? No more hunger, no more thirst. God has our needs on his mind. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. When was the last time you heard about a lamb doing the shepherding? That's right. And lead them to living fountains of water. And brothers and sisters, read this last line carefully. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Ooh, isn't it awesome what God has in store for us? We can live in a life of gratitude. All of those of you who are pathfinders and adventurers, I want a show of hands. Are you ready? How many of you know what sneakers are? You know what sneakers are? Sneakers? Yeah. Sneakers, right? Shoes, yeah. Don't hear that word too often anymore, right? Now it's just like Nikes or something, right? Not those little canvas jobbies. Did you all grow up with those little canvas jobbies, right? Yeah, me too, right? And Mom, I need a new pair of sneakers, right? Got a little hole here on the side. Or your toes are all crimped up in the front. Remember that? Mine did. Mom, I need a new pair of sneakers. And sometimes Mom would look at Dad. I didn't know what that meant. But there was a conversation going on there. You know what I mean? Can we buy these? Can we afford this? His toes are cramped up. Can we do this? Yeah, let's do it. And who knows what they gave up so that little Ronnie could have another pair of sneakers. I don't know what they did to make it happen all the time. But stuff happened. And I got a new pair of sneakers. You ever notice new sneakers are faster than old sneakers? You can run so much faster with new sneakers, can't you?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. We have an opportunity today to utter those same words of gratitude that the people of the great multitude utter. Verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. God has purchased for you salvation. Not just sneakers, not just saving you from a burning building, salvation for eternity. God has done wonderful things for us. Notice what they say in verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom. What's the next word? Thanksgiving and honor and power and might. These are the things we ascribe to God to let Him know that we praise Him and thank Him for all the wonderful things He has done for us. Today we have the opportunity, this week, this coming Thursday, we have the opportunity to thank God for sneakers. Right? To thank God for sneakers. But how do we thank Him? Do we thank Him by going down to the shoe store and buying a whole pile of shoes? Woohoo! Going crazy with shoes?
Shoe party.
Shoe party. Why don't we thank God for the food by gorging ourselves? Where did the world go wrong with that one? Something wrong with that, isn't it? We sit sometimes, the world teaches us, to stuff ourselves more than the turkey. Instead, let's give back to God. Let's give back to God in the person of His people. Let's give back to God in the same way that Matthew 25 talks about. When did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When you have done it unto the least of these. That's how we show we're thankful to God. When we give back to Him in the form of His people. So I want you this week, as you're thinking about your Thanksgiving, to find somebody to give back to. We have the opportunity to give back to some folks who are less fortunate right here next Sabbath. Think about that. We have the opportunity to give back to others that you will see, to bless others, to show that we want to see really a multitude from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people standing on that sea of glass. What do you say? Absolutely. I want you to stand on the threshold of eternity. I want you to hear the gracious welcome given to those who in this life have cooperated with Christ and who have regarded it a privilege and an honor to suffer for His sake. With the angels, you can cast your crown. How valuable would that be? That crown that you get in heaven How valuable is that? But brothers and sisters, get some perspective. Cast it down at the feet of Jesus.